Thanks, Dwight. You know, friendship is such a precious thing. I don't know about you, but I tell you what, I really appreciate my friends. And you know, there is a tremendous difference between those who claim to be friends and those who are genuinely friends. Have you ever stopped to consider how much the Holy Scriptures really talk about friendship? They talk about friendship relative to those of us who are in the body of Christ, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we are friends, but relative also to the friendship that we have with God. And as we sing that song, what a friend we have in Jesus, and we really, really do. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about friendship and how you go about selecting friends. What criteria do you really use in life? You know, sometimes people never really stop to consider their friends. I've had people ask me several times through the years, well, is it wrong for me to have friends outside the body of Christ? Well, the obvious answer to that, it is not wrong. Jesus obviously went about doing good and was a friend to sinners, the Bible says. But the friendship that he had with the disciples was much more intense and much more intimate. In the book of 1 Samuel 23 and verse 16, in the Old Testament, the Bible says of Jonathan, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David and strengthened his hand in God. If you remember the story about David and the story about Saul, it's a very interesting one because Saul was the first king of Israel. He had been anointed by Samuel. And Saul reigned over Israel for near 40 years. But prior to the ending of his reign, King David of the house of Jesse had been chosen to be the king over Israel and even anointed before Saul had left the throne. Now, David was just a young shepherd boy. No one would have ever surmised that this young boy would have ever become the king over such a tremendous nation as Israel. But he would. He was destined to become king. But there's one interesting little scenario that you may have never really considered about this story. And that is that King Saul's son, Jonathan, and David were best friends. Then you begin to wonder and you say, well, how is that going to play out? I mean, you know, what's Saul going to think when he finds out that David has already been anointed to be the king of Israel and that his son Jonathan is his best friend? Now, who is he going to give his loyalty to? Well, Jonathan, being a man of God that he was, the Bible tells us that when Saul tried to pursue David and actually destroy him and to prevent him from actually ascending to the throne of king over Israel, that the Bible says that while David is out in the wilderness, that Jonathan arose, went to him, and he strengthened his hand in God. You know what? I can't think of a more profound statement in all of the Holy Scriptures about friendship than this particular one. You know, when you have a friend who will endeavor to help strengthen your hand in God, you tremendously have a friend. Now, there's some things about friendship that you and I need to know. First of all, we need to know that friends are so important to us. Family's important, but friends are important. And I can tell you that David was fortunate to have a friend like Jonathan. Let me tell you why. Because friends either help us get to heaven or they will keep us out of heaven. It is true. Many times it is friends that will lead us to the Lord. Now, through the years, I've had a lot of experience in dealing with those who are outside the covenant relationship with God. Now, they're there because they didn't get it at home. They're there because family did nothing at all about trying to teach them about the Lord God of heaven. But when they would come to worship, or perhaps when we would befriend them, we had opportunities to sit down and share the message of Christ with them. Now, you may have grown up in a Christian family. You may have grown up in a relationship where with family members who were Christians, and they did everything in the world to help persuade you to become children of God as well. But there are not a lot of Christian homes today in America, folks, and I say that sadly. And many people will go to heaven because they are dependent upon their friends helping them get there. I think of Andrew and Peter in the Bible in the book of John 1 and verse 41. When the Bible says of Andrew, and again it was a tremendous statement made of this man. Because Andrew does not play out as one of the great disciples of Jesus. He was not a Peter. He was not a Paul. He was not John. He was not James. He wasn't in the inner circle of our Lord's friends. Now, that's not to say that Jesus didn't love him and that he didn't want to be a friend with him. But Andrew, the Bible says, when he found out about Jesus, the first one that he went to was his brother. He was the one who brought his brother, Simon Peter, unto Jesus. And he says, come see the one that we have found. We have found the Messiah. Much is said in the New Testament about the encouragement of friends. In the book of Luke, there are three stories that are secluded there for us. One of them is about a man who had 100 sheep. And the Bible says that when one got lost, he went to find that one sheep. But notice also that what he did, he called his neighbors and his friends, and they came and rejoiced with him over the finding of that one sheep. The woman that had lost that one coin of 10 that had been given to her, I guess you could say, prior to her marriage, which was very, very custom during this particular time. She swept until she found it, and when she found it, she called her friends, and they rejoiced with her over her find. And the story of the father and the two sons in Luke chapter 15, the one that we call the prodigal son and the one that we call the elder brother. Well, when the prodigal son goes away and he finally comes back home, penitent over his ungodly lifestyle, the Bible says that the father said, it's time for us to have a party. It's time for us to kill the fatted calf. Go get it. It's time for us to call in all the neighbors and the friends. And that's exactly what they did. Have you ever thought about it when you're going through despair, when you're going through problems in your life? Don't you want your friends there? Doesn't it make you feel good if you have lost a loved one in death, that friends stand by you? It is tremendously important. If you are sick, to know that friends are there with you. If you're having problems in your marriage, isn't it a wonderful and a comforting thing to know that they give you a call and they say, hey, I'm ready at your disposal. I want to help you. I'll stand by you. I'll be praying for you. Almost in every area of our lives, we are comforted by friends. Sometimes it's the encouragement of a friend during the time of trial that enables us to overcome. In the book of Proverbs 17 and verse 17, the Bible even says that a friend loveth at all times. Now, Solomon's talking about a genuine friend, not just someone who's a fair-weathered friend. He's not talking about just an acquaintance. But he's talking about someone who is a genuine and loyal friend. Now that tells me something else. It tells me that you and I should not only be grateful for our friends, but that we are to be a people who befriend others as well. We need to bear one another's burdens, according to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It must have been tremendously horrifying for the disciples of our Lord to see Jesus go through what he had to go through in this life. Because they were friends of our Lord. They had walked together for 3 years. They had been together. They had seen the miracles. They had seen the outpouring of the love of Jesus Christ. And then to see their Lord strung up like a criminal on a cross. There are despondent moments in the lives of all of us. And surely that was the case even of David at one time, for in Psalms 142 and verse 4, listen to what he says. There was a time when he said that no man cared for my soul. It must have been like the Apostle Paul when he's making his defense for his loyalty to God Almighty. And he says, there was a time when no man stood with me. I couldn't imagine going through life without friends. The Bible says of Jesus, and we were singing that song a moment ago, what a friend we have in Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 7 to cast your cares on him, for he careth for you. And there is a friend. Listen to this one. I like this. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. There is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Now, you know what Solomon is saying in that text is that there are sometimes we feel a lot closer to one another than we do even to blood kin. And probably, you know what, I've heard people in the church say that for many, many years. I've heard them say, well, you know, the church is my family. I feel so much closer to those in the church than sometimes I do to those who are brothers and sisters or family members. Second thing you need to know, we should be very, very careful about the selection of our friends. If it is true, what I said a moment ago, that either friends will help get us to heaven or they will keep us out of heaven, you want to make sure that you find and that you seek the right kind of friends. Did you know the Bible even gives us caution concerning that? In the book of James chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. It is hatred with God. God doesn't want us to be friends with the world to the extent that we allow the world to become the dominant force of friendship in our lives. Obviously, we have to be friends with those that are lost and outside the common relationship that we have with our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us why. That evil communication, one translation says friendship, will corrupt good morals or manners. And then in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, Paul asks the question. He says, what communion hath light with darkness? Good question. We must estrange ourselves from those who would lead us astray. You know what? There have been times when I have been with people and I felt like, hey, you know, maybe those people are leading me away from God instead of bringing me closer to God. There are times when we make honest attempts to try to teach people and we hope that we're bringing them closer to God. But what's happening in reality is they are bringing us closer to their immoral and their ungodly lifestyle. And before long, we become enmeshed in it. We didn't intend to get there, but because we made friendship with those that were evil, we have allowed them to draw us away from God. You see, the prodigal son had friends over in the foreign country in Luke 15. But his friends, so-called friends, failed him when the money ran out. And now he's destitute. And he has a recollection about a loving father back home. And he doesn't hesitate one moment when that hits his mind. He says, I'm going to go back to my father who has bread enough and to spare. Chances are he had friends back home too. He knew that was praying for him. How many times have young men and women been led astray by the wrong kind of friends? I'm honest in saying this. I have had many young people through the years tell me, you know what, I just got in with the wrong crowd. Now, what they're saying is that I just made the wrong friends. I allowed my friends to lead me down the path of unrighteousness. In Ephesians 5 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul says that we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Here's a good test if you're making the right kind of friends. Can you talk to your friends about Jesus Christ, or does it embarrass you to bring up Christ in a conversation? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have a lot of friends in Palestine, and I appreciate every one of them. It takes a long time to build a friendship, a clientele of friends. But I'm not afraid to bring up the Lord of my life to any one of them. They know that. Not just because I'm a preacher, and I'm going to tell you something freely. I wouldn't just bring up Christ because I'm a minister of the gospel. But I bring up Christ because he's my best friend. And I want to share him with others who may not know him. David asked the question in Psalms 94 and verse 20. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with the throne of God? The answer to that is an obvious, I think not. There's a third thing that I want to mention to you tonight. We should be careful to select the right kind of friends. Be careful in the selection of your friends. But we should be careful. We should be careful to select the right. Who are the right friends? Who are the right friends? Romans 12 and verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. I think most of us know whether we've chosen the right kind of friends or not. You know, for a long time, and I mentioned this again, but my father used to tell me, he says, son, don't get involved in the wrong crowd. I wondered for years who the wrong crowd are. You probably did too. You probably, well, who are the wrong crowd? Would I know them if I saw them? But you know what? It didn't take me long to find out just who the wrong crowd might be. The people that do not love Jesus Christ and the people that are not interested in things that are spiritual, let me tell you something, are not your best friends. They're not. Romans 12 and verse 10 says that we are to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Now that's the church he's talking about there. To be devoted to one another. We talk about having devotion to God. Do you realize that the writer here, Paul, is saying that we are to be devoted to one another? And that's exactly the kind of relationship that Saul and, or rather, Jonathan and David had. No wonder that when Jonathan saw that his dad was pursuing him in an unrighteous way, that he goes out into the wilderness where he is, he does not wait for David to come seek him out, but because he is a friend, he reaches out to David in his great despair, and the Bible says that he strengthened his hand in God. Jesus said something of this nature in the book of Matthew 7 and verse 12. To do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I like the book of Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Powerful passage. That if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. You know, a lot of us want friends. I know people say, well, I just wish I had more friends. I've been in the church for a long, long time, and I don't have very many friends. You know why? Here's the answer. Proverbs 18:24 says, if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. Sometimes people walk through the doors, and it always makes me feel good. You know, we have a big crowd, and people come in, visitors, and they say, boy, this is the most wonderful church in all the world. These people made me feel so loved and wanted. I got a text from Remy last week. He's here tonight, by the way, and he was baptized last week, and we're certainly thankful for him. But in that text, he says, I thank God for this church who included me, who accepted me, who makes me feel loved. Friendship. It's so important. It is important. We must be a friend that can be trusted. You know, real friends, you can trust. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are some, quote, so-called friends I'm not sure that I could trust. Because sometimes people betray your trust. When you have very confidentially said things to certain people, and they have repeated things that you asked them to hold in confidence, They have betrayed your trust. But let me tell you something. More than anything else, they have betrayed your friendship. Sometimes people say things they ought not to say about one another. That's why James 1 and verse 26, I quoted verse 27 this morning, but verse 26 says, if a man seemeth to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Someone said, before we repeat a story about another person, we ought to let it pass through three gates. Now, I hope you get this tonight, because this really is important. Number one, is it true? Is it true? Don't ever repeat something unless you know it to be true. Is it true? Secondly, is it needful? You know, sometimes it's just not needful to say something even though you may know it. Sometimes it can be very damaging and very hurtful to a relationship. Sometimes it severs relationships. Is it true? Is it needful? And thirdly, is it kind? Would it be an act of kindness on my part to say something that I should not be saying about someone else? I think it would behoove each and every one of us to stop and think about those three gates before we speak. Is it true? Is it needful? And is it kind? You don't have to bear all your heart to everybody. You don't have to, even though you may know something that someone else doesn't know. Sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut. That's kind of a bad way to say that. Maybe I should say, keep your lips sealed. If we haven't been the right kind of friend, we ought to really consider where we are. Let me tell you why that's true. Matthew 5 and verse 24, Jesus said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and you remember that your brother or your friend has aught against you, leave there your gift at the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to your friend or to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. You know, that's a serious thing, isn't it? To think that when we bring and offer something unto God, whether it's worship, whether it's in memory of the death of Jesus Christ, or even offering our money unto the Lord, is God going to accept it? When we have aught in our heart against those we know, our brothers and sisters in Christ. It brings me to the last point tonight. We should be careful not only to choose the right friend, but we should be careful to be the friend of God. That song we were singing a moment ago says, I'll be a friend to Jesus. I'll love him till the end. In James 2 and verse 23, of all the great things that are said about Abraham, this has to be one of the most monumental. For the scripture says that Abraham was called the friend of God. How would you like for someone to say that about you? He's the friend of God. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, Jesus said, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. That's friendship. We cannot be separated from the love of God if we befriend him. Romans 8 and verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he closes by saying, Amen. So be it. Friends are important. Someone said, Stand by me, I need a friend. Someone who will care how this all ends. Come hold my hand. I am so alone. I need you to care when I cry and I moan. To lift me up when I'm so down. To keep my feet on solid ground. To dry my tears each time I cry. When life's so bad. Tell me why. To remind me that the flowers will bloom when all around I see is gloom. Tell me that stars still shine in God's fair sky, and I'll see heaven when I finally die. This life's too short and yet too long. We're here today, but tomorrow we're gone. For many years I've known you cared as life's best and worst times we've shared. Now big dark clouds are rolling in. Please stand by me, for I need a friend. I'll stand by you and be your friend, because I care how all this ends. I'll hold your hand when you feel alone, and I will care when you cry and moan. And I'll lift you up when you feel down and help you keep your feet on the ground. I'll dry your tears when you must cry and remember the good times of days gone by. I'll take you for a walk where flowers still bloom. When you feel that life is only filled with gloom, we'll seek the stars and the heaven above. And I'll share with you the story of God's love. Yes, this life is short, and yet when done, you've many friends who have shared your fun. For many years I cared for you as good times and bad times both we've been through. And when the clouds of life come rolling in, I'll stand by you and be your friend. I'm going to tell you how I can know tonight if you really are a friend to Jesus. How you can know whether anybody is a friend to Jesus. You see, Jesus in John the 15th chapter in verse 14 said, You are my friends if you do what I say unto you. End of it. You're my friends if you do what I ask you to do. Now, you might consider that tonight, and we sing our song of encouragement and invitation. If you're here tonight and you're fulfilling the will of God and you're serving Him honorably, you know that you're His friend. But if perhaps maybe there's some things in your life that are amiss or things for which you seek the greater presence of God in your life, then perhaps you need to do that. If you're not a Christian, then as we mentioned this morning, God's favor rests upon those who surrender their lives to Him in obedience to His will. To be baptized into Christ, that those sins that they have committed can be removed, and the stains thereof. And that's the great love of God, because He is our friend. And if you're subject tonight to the call of our Savior, let us stand and let us sing.